The executive order for the temporary travel restrictions, signed, sealed, not yet taking effect. That comes up March 16th. So between then and now, what will this mean for businesses, for individuals, for those that travel as part of their work, for those with dual citizenships? We turn to Reggie Passis, attorney and immigration practice lawyer for our good friends at Butts Along. Reggie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Guy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I realize that version 2.0 has only been out there a few hours, but as you take a look at your read on it, will it be a smoother rollout than the first version?
Well, the first version was not as smooth, partially because usually what happens typically when there's an executive order or some sort of guidance from the government, they publish guidance to the field as to what will happen and how they're going to implement it. In this situation, we have a situation where the executive order was issued and then guidance was rolled out to the government officials that are responsible for executing it. So we should, in theory, have a more smoother rollout than the first try.
How important is this 10-day grace period that we will have in order for people like you and people in the field and also the folks that are at the border to ask questions and to get some enlightenment on what the subtext of all of this is?
Well, it's absolutely essential. It allows us some time to review everything and see how things actually happen in the field for our friends at U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the U.S. Department of State. It allows attorneys, immigration attorneys, to be able to advise their clients and to represent when they represent their employers and advise their employees as to how to deal with this travel issue for future reference. So it's very critical. So it allows us some time to prepare for that eventuality. So
it puts down in black and white the fact that those that are permanent legal residents, those with green cards, those with valid visas, are not going to be part of this restriction, that there should be an ebb and flow of their travel that should be whatever the new normal is, it should be approaching normal. But what about those that will be applying for new H-1B visas, people in the tech sector that do need specialized individuals to come in from abroad? How difficult will it be moving forward?
Well, first of all, they have to be one of the nationals of one of the six countries, not the seven now. It's Iraq dropped off the list of seven, so now we're just dealing with six. So bear that in mind. It's very clear that it's only applying to members of Syria, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Now, with respect to the H-1Bs, I mean, then it becomes – this is mainly a travel ban. So H-1B petitions are still filed while they're in the United States, and most of these people are inside the United States attending school and working – well, attending school as F-1 students hoping to work in the United States to transition from F-1 to H-1B. What it does prevent is it prevents them from applying for a visa after March 16th, which coincidentally is my birthday, so happy birthday to me, right?
So, you get a lot of new clients. Good
yeah,
for you.
Exactly.
Look at that.
Exactly.
Gift-wrapped.
Yeah. So what it will prevent them from doing is if they need to apply for a visa abroad, they will not be able to return to the United States. And some situations, if you're one of the six countries, if you're a national of one of the six countries, you will have issues with travel. Now, that may not be a big deal if your job does not require you to travel, but if you're working for a global company, you're an engineer, for example, and it requires you to go out to, say, a company facility in, Mexico, for example, or China,
mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have troubles coming into the United States. So that's essentially what we're looking at when we're advising our clients who are mainly employers dealing with these issues. So,
but because we do have this grace period, and also because there was an expression yesterday through the Troika that came out and announced this, which was reassuring that we've got all the departments on the same page. We had the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and State. Is there a possibility? They did express that they would give waivers in some instances and would try to give some flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So is it possible that some of these students that are here now may be able to obtain some kind of a waiver if they show that they are going to be in here and gainfully employed and that they were vetted previously?
Well, see, that's a good question. they will allow, the Immigration Service always conducts its business on a case-by-case basis. They review each person individually. Mm-hmm. That's why it doesn't matter if you've had a history of coming in without any issues, and on this particular issue, there's a problem with your ability to enter the United States. However, the standard that they're going to be applying is, it really hasn't been defined. I mean, they do say it would cause undue hardship. They would say whether the person poses a threat to national security or whether their admission to the United States would be in the national interest. Obviously, national security is a little bit of a no-brainer because obviously if they've got some background which would cause some threat to the United States, that's pretty clear.
Then they should go home anyway.
Right, exactly. I mean, but however, the national interest, what does that mean? Does that mean if they have a patent on a cancer-curing drug, or if they're just a student who's coming in who is an entry-level person but got an H-1B, for example,
right,
and just wants to work? So we have a lot of questions still on that, and unfortunately we're going to have to see how this shakes out in the future.
Well, and also all of this is somewhat speculative because we know there will be challenges to this law, and they could get an injunction against it. We'll be right back where we started with version one. So that's possible as well.
That is possible as well.
Reggie Passes, thanks so much. Happy birthday. a little bit early, and we'll be back. We'll check back with you once we have a greater clarity as to what the full impact of this will be.
All right, thank you very much, Guy.
All right, take care. Our good friends at Butzel Long, Reggie Passes. 10:53, back with more and talking burgers with M Live on the other side of our half hour.